Welcome back.
Salutations.
Thank you for tuning in, everybody.
Yes, and welcome back. Go ahead.
I was about to say, when we drop that beat, you already know we're about to drop another QKJJ podcast episode. And we do adore and appreciate you checking back in.
Yes, we really appreciate you all for sticking in there with us. Salutations, queens and kings, brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. Of course, you're tuned into another QKJJ episode. I'm Queen Jam.
King Jerry in the house.
Yes, and we are actually sipping on some ginger and berry kombucha. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't tried kombucha, you should definitely try it. It's bomb. I'll admit that the first time that I tried it, I was very unimpressed. It was bitter. And sometimes, just like Bae always tells me, you have to try things several different times, several different ways. And there's so many different health benefits, of course, associated with kombucha. We talked about that in last week's episode. And it's actually a fermented tea, if you don't really know what kombucha is. And some of the kombucha that you do see in store, it's just the tea, and then some you have has actual fruit juice added in it as well, so it makes it more sweet than bitter. And it's a great drink if you don't drink or you're trying to quit drinking, I think. Exactly. Yeah. What do you think?
I would agree with that. I'm not gonna say it's the end all be all for, you know, individuals themselves, but definitely if you're trying to, you know, get off of that cycle, that same wheel, and trying to get back to a more sober life, mm-hmm. try kombucha. You'll get a little bit of a buzz there, but again, it is definitely healthier, and I don't believe that there is actually any alcohol present.
It's very small amounts of alcohol because of the fermentation. And if you know anything about wine, you know that's fermented.
Correct,
and,
yes.
Get into all that.
My apologies.
But no, you're fine.
you're fine. Our flower choice for this episode is a blend untrimmed, you all.
Yes, we have the untrimmed.
Yes, that'll be Seattle Sour Kush Primo Verde.
Yes, oh, my goodness. We got that untrimmed. That's something that we picked up at one of the events that we went to, and they had a good sale.
Yeah.
And then we also have, which is this?
Right. So we also have a GGG.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Mm-hmm. It's a flower. Amazing.
All yes. Right. Triple G.
Triple G.
Very bomb. And we also talked about that last episode as well, obtaining your medical cannabis card last week. So definitely for all of you who are still asking about it, just go listen to the last episode, do some research, just type in medical cannabis card and, you know, see a physician in your area. And honestly, when you go and attempt to get your medical marijuana card, you definitely just have to be open and honest with your doctors. That's what really helped us.
Yeah, be completely open and honest in that communication, and it will get you far. We're also going to start recording every other week because of our schedule. It is very complex, and at the moment, we want to give all of our energy and attention and make sure that we have everything laid out, so at least it's equal. We can still be able to do what we need to do, business, and also being able to provide not only entertainment but information in general. Yes. And plus, we all know that you love hearing from us in general, so just keeping that in mind, that's how we're doing it. We're still rolling this out, and we appreciate you still checking in
And listening to us. We really do appreciate the support.
Well, yeah,
maybe we'll start doing like little mini-sodes or something like that, little mini-episodes.
Yeah, that'll work, you know. And plus, we are getting around the time for holidays and things like that, so just try shorten up around those times to help. Now, last week, we do want to mention that we talked about phallus facts, and we hope that you learned a thing or two or three, okay? also, last week, it was pretty rainy most of the week, so we didn't do too much outdoors activities, but we did go ice skating again. All right, and this time on a Saturday. we got to see so many hockey players, kids on the ice and stuff.
They look so cute, and they skate so powerful. It's like such inspiration when you see the kids skating, because they're fearless, and their skating stance is so strong.
Exactly. It's like they don't care about insurance. It's like they don't care about that they have to pay for insurance. But when you look at the adults and those that have definitely taken their time and years of practice, you can see the you can definitely see the maturity in their training. And they're still, like with anyone that's ever gotten hurt before, you know how you're kind of like iffy about going back on whatever your problem issue was. So I saw that with a lot of adults. Like, nah, I don't think I'm going to do that, but I know I can do this.
Right.
But, you know.
Staying in your lane.
Yeah, but that comes with the different, the differences between age gaps and generation and things like that and experience levels. But we still glided across the ice. It was amazing. Learned to stop too, various ways. It's definitely our next mission. It's one thing to get going.
Yes.
It's another thing to stop. So just like when you purchase a brand new car, you know, I definitely am guilty of this. How fast does it go? All right. And my father had to teach me, it's not about how fast a car goes. It's about how fast it can stop.
Right. Exactly.
Same thing on the ice. We you know, it's one thing for entertainment, but you better understand science. When you're on that ice, you are at the will of
the ice.
Of the ice. All right?
Yes.
Ice ain't nothing to play with.
That ice hurts.
What?
I try not to fall when we go, but the times that I do fall and, like, my feet just... The first time I fell, my feet literally came completely from under me, and I fell, like, straight back on my head.
She's not lying. I saw that, but guess what caught her? QKJJ head wrap.
Yes. My head wrap that I had that I had on.
What?
Our handmade head wrap that I had on definitely was a lot of cushion, because I fell on the poof part of it. I had it turned to the back for like a little NDIRE thing going on.
Yeah, it was a lot of comfort. It was a lot of comfort in your fall.
I did not feel it.
But you got up strong. Like, you got up very strong, and it was you got up with a smile.
Yes. The little boy was looking at me like he just saw a ghost. He was like, oh my gosh, are you okay? And I was like, yes, I'm fine. I'm cracking up laughing. I'm like, wow, like that was a good fall, because I do not fall often. So when it does happen, I'm like surprised, like, wow, that was a good one.
Me too. I was surprised. It was a good one.
Yes, you bounced on the ice when you fell.
We're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about that. I didn't know that you could bounce off of the ice. I thought, like, with you skip a rock across some water, you see that bounce. I didn't know that you could actually bounce across ice. So that was a first and a last.
You fell on your back, and then after the fall was complete, you were on your stomach.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I was like, what happened?
I'm a smart guy. You know, physics.
Whatever.
Physics. I'm on physics mode.
No.
You fall, boom, boom. You try to get that energy that just hit the ice and try to transform it and turn over the other side so you don't get that same fall on that same side.
No, that's not what they taught us in the video. They said submit to the fall.
Hey, we were taught a lot of things, but you always got to think about moving further and progressing further and doing different things.
You're too funny. So we also did the math when it comes to renting skates each week versus investing in them.
Right.
And we decided that we're going to invest in some ice skates.
Yes.
We've already put in the order, anxiously waiting for their arrival. And King actually picked out my skates, and that's what's actually holding up the order. They said that, excuse me, you know, they said, and mind you, King picked out the skates. It wasn't like I saw the skates and was like, we're waiting for these skates. He picked out the skates and was like, babe, you're gonna like these.
Listen,
you know,
listen. All right, fellas, ladies as well, if you know your partner in general, all right, if you know what they like, especially when it comes down to something that you're investing in for them, nine times out of ten, you're not going to want to get them something that they probably aren't going to like, because you're going to look crazy at the end of the day. So, you know, my queen, she loves specific patterns, okay?
Yes.
And this specific pattern went along with the skate, and it was actually a skate that's really hot. So apparently, she may not be the only person wearing these skates. I'm not sure.
I'll be the
yet.
Only person there, because there's not really any professional. I'm not gonna say professional, but the people who have invested in their skates, they either have black skates or they have white skates. I see a lot of people with the white skates.
Yeah.
And I don't like anything that's white just because it's going to get dirty quickly. Like, that's right. The first thing I'm thinking about. So I'm like, black.
It's a lot of maintenance. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of maintenance
included. I was thinking black, if anything. I'll go black.
But we are going to show you these skates. They will be posted on our platforms, social media, whether you check us out on YouTube, Instagram.
Yes.
Hell, maybe even Twitter. Who knows?
Exactly.
Who knows? Make a little meme so y'all can see what's going on. Who knows? Little gifts so you can share it back and forth with your family and friends. Look at QKJJ on the ice. Let's try ourselves. But when you see these skates, you know, definitely think about it yourself. And Queen mentioned, you know, at one end, if, you know, you take the time you go, even if you, you know, like to do a little rollerblading or a little roller skating, you understand how much it costs to keep renting. You know, if you're in a position right now where you're renting, you know how much out your pocket is. You're like, dang, you know, that rent hurt, but at least I'm able to rent.
Yeah.
Same thing goes with the skate. At the end of the day, you've already paid that amount when you take the time to rent. Now, it may not be for everyone to pay the full amount or invest fully, but at the end of the day, when you have something that belongs to you, you don't have to keep going back. You don't have to keep going to the counter and like, I don't think that these fit my feet. Ah, these, you know, these blades on the right side or left side a little worn down. Just like with anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Once you think about the
long term
calculation, bro.
Yes, because think about it. We are spending $3 each every time we go. We go probably once a week.
Now, we're doing Terrence Howard calculations, okay?
But one times don't know, one. But not everybody knows the video that we watched, though.
Okay.
People have to go watch it. Terrence Howard, because they try to minimize him to just his acting. But his mind is, like, on a whole different level.
He's
like,
on a whole nother universe.
Your children's children will be reading about him in history books. Like, that's the type of... Oh, my gosh. His
Patton,
mind.
Patton already. Okay?
Yes, okay.
That's all we have to say. But going back to this math, like I said, we're using Terrence Howard's math, mathematics. Mm-hmm. One times one does equal one. Okay?
It equals two.
It equals two. All right.
What happens to the power? There's two powers existing. So both of those powers have to come together to equal out at the end.
Exactly.
You can't tell me that one power of that one integer is the only thing that's going to matter once we get to the final equation.
Exactly. Plus, let's not be ignorant, you all. And I know we just steered a little left, but this is going to go into the congruence of this conversation. When both of us are spending $3 together, that's $6 all the way around. Now, for some people, $6 may be nothing. You may put $6 to the side and like, you may even pay for a meal that's $6 and be like, what you tripping for? Or put it towards a bottle or whatever your poison is.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's on you. But when you times that $6...
Times that $6 by the amount of weeks, which is 52 weeks in a year, without factoring in, oh, it's a holiday, or, you know, what if you don't go that week? Who gives, okay?
Right.
So 6 times 52, that's $312 in that year alone we spent on renting skates,
now,
all right?
I know a lot of folks now, we done fast-forwarded from 6 to $312. Now, in your mind right now, if I told you I'll give you $312, you like, man... I'm about to go ahead and do something with this little bit of money, a little bit of pocket change, all right?
Get my clothes out of layaway.
Exactly. A little something. You can do something for the kid, a little, you know, whatever the case may be, family. But that amount of money at the end of the day definitely could have been put back into your pocket at a fraction of the price. Now, what I'm going to say now is, you know, babe, I appreciate her putting a lot of trust and her king and doing research.
Yeah, you did. You always do great research. Like, he was looking up the steel quality, like what type of blades do we need, what type of steel does it need to be, can we have plastic on there, what type of leather does the boot need to be. Like, he was doing research.
But you know, keep in mind, you all probably do the same thing too. If you have kids, I guarantee you know more about your car than you know about your kid. I'm just saying, if you've had a car for more than like seven, like, or at least around like five to 7 years.
If it's a hoopty, yes.
A hoopty, yeah.
If it's one brand new, people are not worried about that.
Oh, no. But I'm just saying, just going along with, you know, purchasing skates, I did have to take my time because I didn't want us to get hurt. Like we said before, when you're on the ice, I don't want to see either one of us hurt.
And so, I'm not trying to wait for 6 hours in the emergency room to just get my vitals taken and then put back in the waiting room.
Nah.
No. Okay?
Not at all.
Not happening.
Now, keep that in mind. When we said $312 for a fraction of that price, you all, I don't think you would be able to believe me if I told you right now that you could go and find yourself a pair of skates for half this price. Two. One for you, one for your partner, or one for you and the rest for the family. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you right now, the price that we paid just for us to have our own skates was definitely under $170.
Yep.
Under $170, we both were able to get quality skates.
Yes, we got quality skates. Both each got a pair of skates. Bay's feet alone, I just knew we were going to pay $100 for his ice skates, okay?
Facts. Okay.
See his large feet.
I did.
But we ended up getting the boots. We got the blades.
Yeah.
We got shoestrings. We're getting them sharpening. Huh. Both of them sharpened. Yep. Both shoestrings for both of them and both blade covers for both of them as well.
Indeed.
I'm just saying, y'all, like, all that stuff added up,
yeah.
You know, only under $170. Like, that's perfect. You, when you're thinking about things that you're investing in, that's really how you have to do your math and just really think, okay, if I'm doing this every week and it's something that I want to do, let me do the calculations of how much and I'm spending each week versus how much it would cost for me to just purchase it outright, because I mean, it only makes sense.
Now, we're not telling you to go straight out and just buy everything wholesale and just start going to Sam's Club and purchasing everything wholesale.
Yeah, because they're getting over on you there as well. This guy stopped us in the grocery store, and he was like, when I was picking up some potatoes or something, he was like, man, he was like, y'all don't even know. This is like a 300% markup profit that the grocery store makes off of you, because of course the grocery stores, they're buying everything wholesale and then they're just selling it to you at retail price. So you're thinking that, okay, this is how much the potato, okay, they're selling you the potatoes for like $3.99. How much they bought the potatoes for was probably like 60 cents or like a dollar, you know, for a bag of potatoes. Yep. So that's all we're saying, you know?
Especially if you can roll out the fact that you have X amount of people that are already signed up for a membership.
Yes.
That are already locked in.
Yes. Excuse me, y'all. We have, I don't even want to get into that, you know? Like,
let's talk about ownership.
Let's talk about ownership.
Ownership.
Yes. Yes.
So, literally, going back to this on this aspect of ownership.
Mm-hmm.
We did get a chance to just break that down for you. And if you are thinking about either going into the process or trying something new, or your family trying something new, keep that in mind, that it's probably best for you to just go ahead and go all out for it instead of wasting your time, you know, investing shorthand. Now, it's always good, you know, as we did for those little bit of times, to see if this is what we really want to get into. And honestly, it was all by surprise with, you know, with Queen just taking us out there. And it definitely was my first time ice skating, but we've all, I'm sure, been roller skating. We've all definitely had the opportunity to get some wheels underneath of us and go on a nice little wooden floor with all of our family. We know.
Yes,
okay?
Exactly.
Well, we go. You got the whole, what's the movie called with T.I.?
Say Roll Bounce.
Right.
But that was the one with ATL.
ATL, right. And the Cascade.
I don't know where Roll Bounce came from.
No. All right. Yeah, Shad Moss, and you talking about Bow Wow.
Thank you.
It was a good movie. It was a good
movie.
It
was old school. Very old school.
Good movie, though. I give it to
Stiff
him.
Stiff afros.
But I have to say, for real, if you've ever tried, I mean, you're already halfway there. You just got to dress a little bit warmer and get yourself on.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And I'm buying our fabric today. Like, as soon as we're finished with the...
I thought that was going to be a little...
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll leave it for that. I'll just say that. We're buying some fabric later on. But, yeah.
Because you got to do the whole thing when you're on ice. You got... You know, people talk about how they iced up or... What's the dripped up, bust down, all everything. You know, when you're on ice, you got to have your own swag. You have your own... whatever it is, because you'll end up feeling a lot, really feeling a lot better as you're independently gaining and experiencing and building your skill sets on ice. Being able to self-identify with yourself and set yourself apart mm-hmm. definitely helps playing a role with anything that you do. But going back into our conversation, like I said, steered, having ownership in whatever you're taking it taking part of mm-hmm. is your best choice because you actually get to learn more about whatever you're doing and really taking mm-hmm. the time to do my own research and going over the material, going over the type of blades, going yes. over what to wear,
the fabric that the boot needed to be, yeah. whether it was leather or like polyester or something like
polyester,
that.
Polyester, PVC. Mm-hmm. You learn so much more having the opportunity to bake your actual ice skates.
Yeah, you're supposed to get them baked so that they fit around your foot a certain way.
You know what I mean? So there's a lot that goes into it, but once you actually take those necessary steps, you'll feel a lot better and you'll start to see yourself grow. And that's with anything that you do. Do your research, apply it to your life, mm-hmm. and then you actually see yourself grow from there.
And plus, I was looking for something that we could take around the world with us when we start traveling. Yeah. Like, I was like, what could we do other than like hiking and stuff around the world? And then once I saw the ice skating and we actually took time to travel virtually around the world looking at the different ice skating facilities that they have, I was like, this could be, you know, a move.
Yeah.
We could be ice skating all around the world and enjoying ourselves. So this is perfect.
And let's be real, you know, depending on where you are, like, ice skating isn't, you know, something that's big. It's expensive. Like, don't get me wrong. Yeah. When you start to enter into different sports, you'll start to see the ones that are a little more costly than others that may not be so costly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, soccer versus ice skating is completely up to you. You're still going to get a great exercise, and no matter how you look at it, still physically great
cardio.
Yeah, still great cardio, but around the world, you know, heavy in soccer. Mm-hmm. But you know, do we ever look at something that is on the opposite end of that, man? Just saying, I mean, even in Africa and places that are tropical, there are ice skating rinks. I'm just saying.
Yes, that's what I was surprised to see as well. They actually do, in those tropical places, have ice skating rinks. And when I'm out there on that ice, like, I swear I have done this in a past life, because before I started watching any of the YouTube videos, like, just showing you little techniques and things, it was, like, coming to me naturally. Different turns, like, different mm-hmm. spins and everything. It was just... it's just amazing.
Yep.
I feel but one.
You'll mm-hmm. see all of that. I know it took us a while to get through the, you know, just talking about it, because it's, again, it's something that you
passionate
get.
About it.
Yeah, but it's just something that you can always apply to different elements within your life. And when you come across different people, mm-hmm. that's something to add into. Like, how many people you know for real, like, besides, like, yeah, like, besides,
and black people at that ice skate, you know, like, no one, when we were out there, at least, especially in the area that we live in, you know, like, we were the only people of color out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Honestly, and some of them were like, you know, where'd they go? Where'd they come from?
Yeah, start having them get videos of us.
Okay. Yes, exactly.
Building that one.
You all need to also help me convince King that doing that, using that same math equation, it would be cheaper for us to have an ice skating facility in our home.
Okay.
And that would be great.
See, this is where I really did the math on that. Now, bringing out a great idea, and that's why mm-hmm. I said, you know, bring out a great idea, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay? Yes.
Queen, it makes a lot of sense, but...
because that's the most amount of money that we're spending when we're going there to skate.
But you're going to have to facilitate, right? If you need an actual team to be consistent.
That's what I said, we can have a team. We could, like, you know. Anyway.
Tell us what y'all think.
Yeah, what y'all think. Do y'all think we should have the ice skating rink in our home, on, you know, all the way back in the back somewhere, or just keep going to all these random ice skating rinks and paying?
I mean, we'll see.
Do that math. Yes.
We would need someone really well. I if you're in the field of let's see, plumbing or
yes.
HVAC, let us know if that's something that
because I know they're always running. I know they're always running. Even in the summertime, we were walking past in the park and you could hear the facility running. Like really trying to keep it cool in there. But that was the positive part. We did, with King doing his research, we found actual planks that you can buy, like little, what would you call them? Like, so, actual flooring. You know how flooring is set up? You can buy, like, the little squares. Oh, they have that same exact setup when it comes to an ice skating rink.
Right. So, pretty much, if you don't have that amount of money, like, $2 to $4 million
to invest, like, keeping an area cool for the ice and cleaning the ice. And
What you can do is get panels, right?
There we go, panels.
These panels can definitely... you could say Lego or connect
like together. The little rubber floors that you get for kids, for them to play on. You like push them, force them together, overlap. They fit together.
They sometimes overlap, but there is an opportunity for ice. They
snap into place.
Panels, snap in panels, mm-hmm. for ice, or linked panels that are pretty much just the a cheaper option. It's not going, of course, get the same. You're going to, you know, it's going to be different. Can't stop the same way as well, but...
I thought they were stopping the same way.
I mean, you can't, like, you can't, like, hard stop, like, hockey stop. Either way.
On the video, the kids looked like they were powerfully skating on there.
I mean, you can have these panels set up, especially in hot climate, mm-hmm. you know, wherever you are.
Yeah, they were outside. In, like, a warm place.
Exactly. Just panels that you put together, you know, they look like I say, if you want to go ahead and invest, you can invest in it. I'm just saying that next step of always having a HVAC system on, bro, like, you're gonna need like big teams like coming mm-hmm. around, like all types of sports.
Mm-hmm. So definitely. Also this week we had a lot of orders come in this week. We had a custom order that we cannot wait to show you closer to the holidays. Yeah. And that was so much fun creating that. Mm-hmm. And just thank you again for all of the support and positive energy we received since starting this podcast, because, you know, we just had so much support and we really do appreciate that. So we have a lot more things in the works for you. And, you know, being our supportive tribe, we're definitely going to make sure that we keep you in the loop. So stay tuned.
Right.
We also recorded several YouTube videos this week. We're finishing up the editing and posting them as well. And we'll get to that later in the episode as well. To the best of our knowledge, we will be honest without compromising ourselves or any parties who wish to take part.
Doing your own research is a necessity. Check your emotions at the door and embrace pure facts.
Most importantly, remember to always smile because you have the weapon of knowledge.
Absolutely. Media absent news, you all.
So, African-American couple just created a social media platform mm-hmm. that links students worldwide.
Yes.
Angelique and Dwight Morrison are founders of the PS Remember.
Yeah, PS Remember. This is a new social media platform that connects students in over 100 countries. Mm-hmm. Their database is comprised of over 2.5 million schools, and this allows students who have been or currently attending high school, college, of course, to communicate. I mean, come on now, with each other. You know how long it's been since you've already contacted someone on mm-hmm. another social media platform or whatever, mm-hmm. and you can, you know, do a little hit connect, whatever.
Right, at least this one is like student based, so you're looking for other people that go to a different school.
Exactly.
That's very, very powerful.
And from, you know, our knowledge, this has never been done before.
Mm-hmm.
It's free, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I know that sounds good to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So visit www.psremember.com. Again, that's www.worldwideweb.
I'm mad I put the www because that's how older people always give you, oh my gosh, the URLs.
Period.
No.
Period. PS Remember.
Y'all got it.
.com for more details or to join, which we hope that you do.
Yes, definitely. When I read that, I was like, that's something different.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so our next story is Danielle McGee, mm-hmm. the CEO and founder of Black Business Boom, created a coupon program for Black-owned businesses to compete with Groupon. And this is great because a lot of small businesses, such as ourselves, definitely struggle when it comes to being able to build customer loyalty. So being a Black-owned business makes it even harder because of negative stereotypes. For instance, a common misconception is that all Black-owned businesses lack quality customer service, which is incomplete. Yes, this is definitely a fallacy. And Danielle believes we must create actionable ways to dispel the myths and bridge the gap between Black-owned businesses and consumers. And she was quoted saying, "I started Black Business Boom because Black-owned businesses typically have less access to funding, which consequently limits their ability to spend money on marketing. And our platform is an affordable way for small business owners to generate revenue while attracting loyal customers." So, BlackBusinessBoom.com has launched a new mobile app to help build loyal customers and drive revenue. And merchants have the opportunity to grow their business by offering coupons and incentives to customers across the U.S. The Boomin mobile app launched on October 1st and is available for download for free.
For free?
Yes, on both iOS and Android devices.
Beautiful.
Merchants actually can, if you are a merchant, listen to this part, because you can apply to be featured currently for only $4.99.
Awesome.
That's very, very cheap advertising. I would definitely get in there if you can. If you're a merchant, you can be featured in the Black Business Boom for only $4.99 currently. Mm-hmm. So definitely take advantage, because it may go up. You never know. And if you are a Black-owned business and you are looking for, you're looking to invest in advertisement, then this is definitely for you.
Yeah.
And actually, we are featured in the Black Business Boom coupon online and via the app as well.
QKJJ?
Yes, we've been working with her since the beginning of the year when she first started talking about launching the app. And, you know, we connected and conversed. And such a an honor to really be a part of this, because it's something monumental, definitely. So I'm very happy for her, very proud for her, and happy to be a part of it. And their Black-owned business database consists of over 400 Black-owned businesses in several cities across the U.S. And to learn more, please visit blackbusinessboom.com, download the Boomin app, and support us on there as well. And we're sending her snaps of positive energy, just making sure that this goes the way it's supposed to and that she flourishes with this, because this is something that I feel a lot of Black-owned businesses definitely need. A nice little pick-me-up.
Yeah, I mean, again, just to get rid of all of the negative stereotypes that are pushed upon Black businesses, there was a movie that we watched, and the movie mentioned a Black artist. It was based that this Black artist needed to get from one place to the next, and they needed to get a piece of documentation signed in the middle of the night. And the artist was like, you know, "Don't we know any Black-owned businesses
that was Atlanta."
Wow, tripping. So yeah, that was actually Atlanta. We're watching Atlanta. I'm not sure which episode it was, but you know, isn't there any Black-owned businesses that work at the same time or whatever?
The same capacity that fulfills the same order, pretty much.
And they were like, "Yes, we know a lot of Black-owned businesses that can, but pretty much we're not going to allow them to compete because they would probably just be better competitors overall, dominate the field." But with that being said, I appreciate the opportunity. We both do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that all Black businesses that are participating will appreciate it, because that negative stigma is set in place systematically. There are, look, you know, y'all know, the opportunities that are put in front are not always fair, but you do have to play the hand that is given you. And you have individual pieces, just like this sister here, Danielle, McGee, being able to have a platform where all of us can come together and actually utilize the platform for better business purposes, especially when it comes to marketing. You can only get one thing out of this, and one thing only: better verification from mm-hmm. customers that there's some really good marketing going on.
And at least you know it's going back into your community. We actually shopped at a black-owned restaurant this past week. It was mm-hmm. a Jamaican black-owned family restaurant, and it was bomb.
Bomb.
They definitely need more support.
Yeah.
But I understand.
But support me, you know. Support is there. You mm-hmm. know, we do ask. What's the name's not doing this, and so and so now is doing that, or where's this and where's that. It's there, you know. These doors are open, but support has to happen, especially if you want that same money that you're pushing in to go right back into the community to be utilized. Mm-hmm. That's all we're saying, you know. Mm-hmm. Businesses have put themselves in place with black-owned banks, and the money is definitely being able to be pushed back, but have to have the support there. You'll be stuck on that same wheel over and over again.
Yep, so definitely check us out on there and support the other black-owned businesses that are on there as well. We're going to move on to our positive quote for this week. And it is, every great dream begins with a dreamer. Mm-hmm. Always remember, you have within you the strength, the patience, and the passion to reach for the stars to change the world.
And who was that by?
Harriet Tubman.
And that movie coming out, y'all.
Yes, it's coming out, y'all.
It's up to you on how you want to go about it, depending on your, research. Excuse me. Oh, bless you.
Yes, thank you.
Depending on your research, every story.
That and Black and Blue. Right. A lot of people are talking about that as well. Where they want to go see it.
But there's always a message in everything that's given. So, it's completely up to you. Y'all, sponsorship this week. Episode, again, is sponsored by our new YouTube video. We Try Beyond Meat, which is a meatless patty or meatless company that's pushing out
different meatless, you know, like sausages, products, ground beef.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
It has 20 grams of complete protein per serving.
Right.
Protein. And again, it is plant-based, no soy, no gluten.
We are not sponsored at, you know, by Beyond Meat, but I can say that it was good. It was alright.
It was good. Definitely go watch our YouTube video, because we went into depth there. We actually showed how to prep it and how they look. They cooked amazing. Like, I've cooked burgers at home and have always struggled with making sure they were perfectly flat and then had that perfect brown across the entire and not just like raised on one end, because you're supposed to have like a little weight that you can put on it, or sometimes when it's cooking, or a little burger press that you use prior to. It's just a struggle sometimes, y'all know.
Now, our topic for this week is rap.
Yes.
Rap is a huge part of our culture, and that culture is translated, felt, understood, repeated, definitely, and it's definitely practiced over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But all over the world is what's that's what's important. It's universal. Rap is universal.
Mm-hmm.
I'll
preface this by saying that we are not trying to encourage any more cultural appropriation than is already running rampant. This is strictly for educational purposes and to enhance your understanding of rap and to clear up some common misconceptions. Mm-hmm. And by the way, not all black people like or listen to rap, and none of us actually take a course in hip-hop. Did you know that?
No.
Or
rap. I just want to let you know, when we say black people, too, there's like quotation that we put around black, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But in the diaspora.
Yes.
All right. Not all of us. Not all of us.
You know when you pick up those little paint palettes where it shows you like the little paint samples, and you see like the little table chart of little colors. All the colors that's in the brown section over there, that's what we're referring to. But Yes, definitely in quotes. And we actually just finished watching the Wu-Tang saga on Hulu. Mm-hmm. Definitely go watch that. It was very, very good. Mm-hmm. And I'm just honestly never seen anyone compose their raps the way like RZA did. And King, you were there when he performed that episode where, oh my goodness, the music had cut out and he had to go a cappella. And this is spoiler alert for anybody, but mm-hmm. the music had cut out at their first pretty much like demonstration. They got invited to come and perform. Music cut out and he had to do an a cappella. Mm-hmm. He had everyone vibing along. He was like, all right, y'all, come on, clap your hands along with me. And he was going good. Along with it. We were like, okay, you're That's doing good. It.
Yeah.
And
when he started rapping, though, it was from the took perspective. A turn. The perspective was deep. But it was of a sperm cell, all right?
He was rapping from the perspective of a sperm cell, all right?
Going down the fallopian tube, like...
He said, out of a 400 million. Like, y'all, it was... Okay, he ends up getting booed off, of course, you know? Because, I mean, if he would have had a tight beat, nobody wouldn't have really cared about what he was rapping about. But since he was going a cappella, you're listening to the words. You know, it's just unfortunate. Nonetheless, yeah, I definitely dope. Think his set was dope.
Yeah, yeah.
It was too deep for that scene. Mm-hmm. But, you know. So, what about you, King?
I agree. Wu-Tang Clan in general was and is, always will be a legendary group. And their introduction into how the world views rap, no matter... who it is, who you're talking about, how fast they were able to translate mm-hmm. The commercialized viewpoint of rap is something that we have to deal with all the time on the radio, things like yeah. that. But just the deep, intricate process of rap and how it started, you all, this is where it gets interesting. Rap in general is a message. Rap is a complex mix of influences, mm-hmm. and I mean, including different elements, as we mentioned, speech, poetry,
mm-hmm.
prowess,
mm-hmm.
and song.
Mm-hmm.
When you mix all of these elements, these chemicals together, some may have a basis of understanding of rap, and others may not get the basis of it. But again, we're just gonna break it down for you.
Yeah, and trust and believe, this isn't in this episode, there's no way for us to break down rap. Yeah, yeah, like yeah, trust yeah, and believe yeah.
like
that would be try, minimizing like, what rap is.
Culture, like we're breaking down song. But
yes.
Again, speech, prowess, poetry, song.
Mm-hmm.
Each has its own dynamic connecting from one to the next, giving you a line of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more than also immersing yourself in culture and sound and rhythm of rap music, or especially or specific type of rap music or style.
Mm-hmm.
Within hip-hop, this is what we're getting to, the message of hip, which is a word that I've grown accustomed to utilizing being in the DMV area. When you're hip to something, or in general, just over the years, when you're hip or on top of something, or you know what's going on,
mm-hmm.
and then you're, you know, you have the hop, just that feeling, you're going to be introduced into the mentions of a city life or a survival, spirituality even, and you're paying a homage. The list also goes on when you're mentioning the process of hip hop,
mm-hmm.
because it deals with so many aspects. When we mention survival too, in the 90s, like mm-hmm. in the 80s, 90s, like being in a club
yeah,
was a survival aspect for some people.
Yeah, I mean, being in a club now all of a sudden is a survival aspect now. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like, yeah, yeah. Not even talking about the rap portion. I'm yeah. sorry. Go ahead.
But you do have to do some serious homework if you are inspired to rap, because we do get a misconception behind the smoke and mirrors. First and foremost, you have to have the love for it. Everything else
yes.
behind it comes with it, just with rap. Mm-hmm. Anything that you want to do with it on the music aspect, you have to be inspired, and that has to be something that you love, because once you get to your peak and you hit your bottom, you will have to keep your inspiration. It all plays a very significant role. But again, when you do your research on rap, which means studying not only mainstream artists like, let's go to
J. Cole, love him.
Yeah,
Kendrick Lamar,
Kendrick,
yeah.
Wale. When you're thinking about, Meek Mill, all of these mainstream Drake, all of these hit big artists now,
And we didn't also touch on who is factual, and then just a icon or a logo. Mm-hmm. These are two separate sects as well. We cannot dive deep into all that. I'm just prefacing it by all that, because we mixed a lot of people who have ghostwriters and then people who don't even write their stuff down and just go off the dome. Mm-hmm. So we want to make that clear as well.
But in general, we're all going to target artists alike.
Yes.
Now, when learning about something, or learn about anything, you should do your research, as we always state, on the founders, the basics. OGs. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't want to forget the underground artists. And again, with the umbrella of underground artists, these are just music artists that happen to be on the outside of the general commercial canon that's being pushed out in front of us.
And underground rappers, they're usually the ones that's rapping about stuff that they don't want you to hear. They don't want you to really talk about. They don't want no type of passion to be riled up. They want you to feel as though, they want you to feel a certain way versus what the underground rappers are talking about. Some of them, they don't want you to feel that way. That's all I'm leaving at.
All marketing. Marketing. Yeah. But when you get to the OGs like Curtis Blow, LL,
The Sugar Hill Gang,
and the list goes on. We don't want to overfit, but the list always goes on.
Yes, the thing that I love the most is the different regions that have the different styles and everything. That's the best part.
You want to talk about different styles. So if you know any on top of your head, with New York, LL, L. Cool J had his own style and his own viewership of New York rap. Or you'll have other New York rap, like Wu-Tang. It gives you a perspective or viewership of New York.
It's like a boom, bop.
Exactly.
Boom, bop,
the boom, bop. Now, when you go into more of a West Coast vibe, as always opposite ends of the spectrum, West Coast provided us with a very gangster rap, very hard image. You do have Snoop. The whole Death Row, just as a label in general, and how many individuals.
The King that just fell too, Nipsey,
right. You do have a style or a pattern that goes along with each region. You got the South. Now, this is where Lil Wayne,
the dirty
South. I mean, so many, my goodness, I'm trying to think of so many record labels that are down South. You have No Limit Record, you have Jay Prince. My God, I can't think of their record label. Forgive me, because that came right out. I feel bad right now because I don't know. But you understand, you understand, like where we're going with this. You have a lot of mix when you talk about styles, even in the Midwest. You that's where Eminem, you have a lot of other artists in general that came out of that Midwest, sound.
Yes, they have that down South is that Chopped and Screwed. There was a video one time, and I can't remember whose video it was, but it was a remix to a song, and each person that was singing had their own backdrop of their own town. Like, you could tell, like, they went to Houston, and that person was from Houston. They had Houston real big in the back, and the setup of it, and that's something that you rarely see.
I'm swimming right now just off the aspect of hip-hop alone, and there's so many artists that push this. Missy Elliott, you have so many artists that have,
who is aging backwards,
right, who have pushed so much into it. So the aspect of just rap, or, you know, again, we talk about hip hop, but then we start to trickle down at down this umbrella.
Yes, you got Queen Latifah, right. Eve, like, right. So many people, Lauryn Hill, like, it's just such a clusterfuck of people, you know, different styles, different rhythms, mm-hmm. different cadences, different everything.
And another aspect of rap is rhythm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's important, but I do find it interesting that there are different pockets in hip hop where rhythm wasn't always the case.
Mm-hmm.
Rhythm just happened to be a tool that was utilized to get us all into the same pattern.
Yeah, some can get to like a spoken word where you're not aiming to rhyme every single bar and everything, you're just projecting. Yeah.
And that is a very, very heavy dynamic of rapping as well, when you have your own style and you can utilize rhythm as a tool underneath your belt of many assets that you have to utilize. Battle rap utilizes different rhythmic and projections. I appreciate that because you get it from a very raw sense.
It's acapella. Raw, mm-hmm.
Very, very, very raw point of creativity. Mm-hmm. But when you start to polish it, rhythm going off of a heartbeat is something that's basis, and that's something that we can all go off of in general. The heartbeat has a specific beats per minute or rhythmic action. Now, rhythm may be hard for some, but practice does make perfect. Now, trust me, you can look up some videos right now. There's a whole bunch of people clapping.
Right.
You have someone that's on an offbeat. All right. All right. So to songs.
It's so hard for me to be off rhythm, though. Like, even if I try, I end up going back in rhythm, right. Trying to be off.
Listen to songs, and of course you know you have to start with something simple, mm-hmm. like not something that's going to be too hard where you can't even just nod your head. Just something simple as nodding your head. You got something with a nice little soft beat, boom, boom, and you're good. You're good. Mm-hmm. But for some others, it may be harder. Like we just gave you that example. It may be hard for individuals to get on key or on rhythm. So mm-hmm. practice makes perfect. How would you instruct someone to obtain rhythm?
I would probably just say it varies with different things. If you have rhythm in one instance of your life, you should have rhythm in other areas of your life.
Okay.
I just feel as though rhythm is something that I feel like it's kind of hard to tell someone to get rhythm, because I feel like the simplest answer would just be just listen to some music and just follow along. Like, okay, uh-huh, okay, uh-huh. But then it's like what else after that? You know, it's like a foot tapping and a head nod. But studying body language is everything. If you can just watch a few videos of other people looking and interpreting rhythm, watching people in the studio, and I've watched people in the studio before, and I'm like, what beat are they listening to? Because their head is like going at a whole different rhythm or a whole different speed than the actual music that they're listening to. So I would definitely probably say watching people in the studio, because when people are in the studio, they're hearing the beat right there, but they're also trying to add something else to it. So you may be listening to a, and then they're like, okay, ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. Like, they're looking for something else they can add to the beat. So, I'll probably say studying people body language in the studio.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Now, if you don't have the opportunity to go and also view people in the studio, pretty sure you can think of some closer places.
I'm talking about YouTube and stuff. Like, people record themselves in the studio all the time.
I mean, okay, that's fair.
I don't even know if you can just walk up on somebody's studio session.
Like. Nah, I wouldn't do that. How were you introduced to rap?
How was I introduced to rap?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it happened through osmosis. You know?
Just osmosis, huh?
Yes, because it's just like when you hear a song on the radio over and over again, you don't sing it or you don't like the song, but you end up picking up every single word, every fluctuation in the song without you even wanting to. So I feel like it happened through that, because it definitely wasn't anything, any school I went to or anything like that. But I feel the hardest part is just about the era that we grew up in. We grew up in an era where people expect us to know 60s, 70s, 80s, you know. Mm-hmm. And we still have to know the times that we grew up, the 90s and stuff. But right. People are like, no, in order for you to understand the 90s, you have to know the people that came way before right. that.
That's fair.
So, you know, it's that.
I
feel like I still don't know everybody, you know.
Well, and that comes with doing all sorts of research.
Yeah, that's gonna take a long time. That's repetition.
No. I wouldn't say a long time if you have a good projective angle of where you want to go off of. Mm-hmm. And again,
but everybody in rap booth, that's gonna take a long time. Yes, and pick your people's cadences and study them.
I wouldn't say that. Come on now. It wouldn't take too long. I promise you, it wouldn't take too long.
I beg to differ.
I probably. But what does it mean to you? What does rap mean to you?
It's very complex at this moment in time, because we're going through this whole, is hip-hop for everybody, or is it, you know, just our thing?
Okay.
So I just want to... But that's why what I'm saying is that, for me, it just gets complex. It's a celebration of everyone, the people that came before, the people are now, because just like J. Cole said in one of his songs, he was like, I studied the old people, and now I perfected their cadence and I perfected everything that they did, so now I'm the greatest and where I'm at, but I still look at the younger people as well. Mm-hmm. And what they bring to the table. So right. It's like a celebration of everybody.
I understand.
What about you?
My first introduction to rap, I think, and I'm actually happy I pulled this up, but being a 90s baby, that was around a good era in general. There's a golden era, there's a breaking also into mm-hmm. the golden era. But the Fugees, I remember when I was young, very young, it's funny, but I remember hearing Killing Me Softly. Just a
Fugees was very soulful, and I'm more soulful than like hip hop or rap, I would say.
Now, granted, too, my parents did introduce me to a lot of older artists. Mm-hmm. Like we mentioned before, Curtis Blow. You do have a lot of other older artists that set that standard, that
Craig
set
Mack.
The tone. Craig Mack, mm-hmm. you have, even before, I mean, before that, just artists that were yes. 80s. You know, you introduce, it's funny, but you introduce other artists that end up translating, and they come in completely different, and they change your outlook. But I would mm-hmm. say that first sound, like the how rap hones in and hits you home, that dun, 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 I don't know what that was at that time, mm-hmm. but it hit heavy for me. Now, the real basic, like the like, you know, what does rap mean to me? Currently, I still like watching battle rap in general, because for me to see someone that has immersed themselves with music, with their skill set, and being able to literally sit down and think about how you're going to rhyme this first word to your last and set up a large production, and actually, I mean, go through it to a level where we're introducing essays longer than some Cambridge philosopher. Yeah. Like, for real, like, these individuals have the ability to produce
these are full-blown history books, like recorded.
History books record, like, mm-hmm. individuals are able to make this, make that type of structure mm-hmm. within their art. And maybe the cadence sounds the same from time to time, because that's where, you know, you get stuck at with certain portions of rap, where now you have to, you know, start pushing things forward. But I really respect battle rap because it's so raw and it's in your face and it's something that you can't take away from that individual's work. When you put in a certain amount of work and you're able to deliver that type of music or acapella, when you have a bunch of artists, Prince and Michael, and you have James Brown, you have all of these individuals, and before that as well, mm-hmm. that have created a linear passage of music, and they've given you something that is deeper, that is like I said, something about the Fugees, that dun-dun, it just hit. Mm-hmm. I don't know what, but it hit.
Yeah, when that soul is incorporated into it, it's a whole different song.
And with that raw, rugged, for me, with that raw, you can't take that away. And when you do clean mm-hmm. that up, you do clean up the rugged, the raw, the raunchy, whatever, you try to clean that up and polish it, mm-hmm. then you actually see the gem that's already been there. It's just nobody was really paying attention to the rough. So, again, it's always been a message in rap for me. Can you give an example, like, you know, when rap kind of hits you?
That's the thing, though. Like, the earliest song, it would be nice to really understand, like, the earliest song that I ever heard, but it was just a mix of hearing different things, you know, especially growing up in the city, you hear people roll by with different, you know, music blasting and stuff like that all the time. But I don't really think there was one song that hit me. I know that the Fugees was something I was definitely introduced to. Lauryn Hill definitely was introduced mm-hmm. to her. I'll talk about, you know, an imaginative life. My imaginary life, I would have been introduced into Queen Latifah at a very young age. And that's where I will say that I fell in love with hip hop. Like, honestly.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know?
Okay. All right. Imaginary. But the reality.
I'm just being real because, no, I really don't think there was one song that really hit me or anything like that. It was a cluster of songs.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. And I would have to agree with that, too, because each time rap in general, how it was produced or pushed out,
changing,
it's heavy. We could all probably sit down and give two songs that will go on our book of always wanting to play with their rap. Yeah. They're two opposite
two
songs.
Two totally different, right, like two a totally. Fuji song and then like a Lil Wayne song. It's like, it's two different feels.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to happen, but they all give you something. There's something that's there, some substance that's going to be somewhere within the music.
Mm-hmm.
How many years of experience of rap?
Yes. Could you spit a rhyme for us now?
Could I spit a rhyme?
With all of your knowledge and all your studying on the cadence and whatnot.
I mean, you could. It's something. All right. Basic from the 90s play. Doing little games like dominoes, slapping down the beat, slapping down the drums, putting a little thing to the side for the homie one. Give me one to two, give me two to three. That beat hitting hard every time and we, every time we play, every time we speak. You understand the message that we do. Oh, I'm feeling good. I'm drinking it back. No Cadillac, no things to pat. Pat me on my back. Pat we all we go. And anything that I spit, you may not for sure know. Cause I do me and you do you too. Cause everything that I rap may not suit you two, and I'm not gonna be in no three-piece suit with a little tie around my neck trying to hang me. No, you feel me? Like, you feel me? Like, I just went far off the left. But again, when you get into rap and you're able to drag people into your message, no matter what you sound like,
or
paint that picture, then I can take you wherever I want you to go. But
I can take you wherever you want you to go.
I mean, just like you go right now on your little Google Maps or whatever, it'll take you wherever you want you to go. That's the same thing with rap. That's the same thing in general with rap, mm-hmm. with hip-hop. It takes you to the gutter of what people are seeing with their own eyes or what others may be experiencing. But just the basics.
Do you know at what point you started to study on how to rap yourself? Or, like, did you want to rap yourself, or were you just studying other people, or did you study other people for a while, and then you started like rapping out loud, trying like what you and your friend do.
Yeah,
like battling each other and stuff. When did that start?
I think that was that. Like when you're introduced to hearing so many people rap in general. I think it was definitely going to school, and I saw a whole bunch of kids. They were all standing around in a circle. So your first instinct is like, yo, there's a fight today. Like, let's go ahead and look at that. Yes. But then it I actually saw individuals that were battle rapping, like what we talked about earlier. But it was so, in a way, it was comforting because I knew where a lot of these individuals were coming from, like where the, you know, what their environment was like around their life. And even though there was fabrication within their lines, I understood what they were saying. And they were able to share their own picture, their own viewership.
Yes.
Granted, a lot of their cadence was taken from, you know, their early stages of battle rap. You got your Loaded Lux, your Murder Mooks, your E-Nesses, your Arsenals, you got your Head Ices, and all of these individuals that were pushed out in the forefront of battle rap at that time. Meek Mills was actually out there as well as a forefront. Cassidy and all of these individuals were forefront and runners that pushed this out when the internet, of course, got big for us around that time. And when you're able to see that type of dynamic, you can't ignore just beyond what individuals are saying. Yes, to captivate you and to drag you in, saying a few lines about something that may be fabricated to that artist is a small sacrifice for the bigger picture that I can possibly deliver to you. And that was one of my first instances being at school and be able to hear people actually take the time and were like, yo, I'm about to fry dude up today because yesterday he went in on me. And then I'm going to talk about, like, people, like, the fact that I, like, after that point, I actually saw people utilize social media to try and, like, go deeper into other people. And then, like,
people's lives, like I used to do on Your Mama.
Yeah, and then individuals would literally come back and they would rap about, oh yeah, social media, it's something that has always transpired, and definitely before, you know, the 90s and how big it was, you know, pushed out there. When you introduce small intricacies like the internet and be able to push it out there, you're going to be able to enhance everyone else around the world. And like you mentioned, it is hard to say where you are within this and how you your take on it, because now it's spanned out so far that I can now look on the internet and see two people from Indonesia having a battle rap competition. I don't even know what they're saying, but the people in the background like, whoa!
Right, you can tell.
That was a hard bar. Like, I don't know what was said, but, you know, boom. Like, it was a hard bar, and I know where they're getting it from because you can hear the cadence. You can hear it. You can see it. You can you understand that transition and that level to for it's a lot of freedom for a lot of people to actually have the opportunity to speak what they want to speak, but turn it into a possible career, or just to turn into their own message. And I think it's difficult in some ways because you may not get all that is it's coming with it. There's a lot that there's a lot that goes into hip hop. There's a lot of riches and finances and just on that aspect. But you're not in love with the music, you don't understand that aspect behind it, then you'll definitely get what was said now. You'll get lost in the sauce. You get lost in everything else and in yourself.
I'm glad you said that, because hip-hop as well, the one thing we didn't touch on is that it saves lives, okay? It saves big lives, because it's people out here who have went, and they talk about in their songs, went from being on the corner to now being paid to just rap over music.
Yeah.
And they're like, I would have never thought in a million years someone would pay me to just talk over some music. Right. Like, come on, you know? Versus everything else that I've been going through and trying to make money different ways. So it definitely does save people's lives. I just thought about the first time that rap really meant something to me was when I was in, I think it was like the fifth grade. There was this guy at my lunch table, and we would sit at lunch together, mostly like everyone in our class, and he was pretty much just like rapping. And he was like, well, Jamira, I'm going to battle you tomorrow. And, you know, this is pretty much like making it like a big deal. Like, I'm going to battle you tomorrow. So I was like, okay, I went home, I was writing my rap, and I made sure that this rap was going to be fire. Mm-hmm. And then I came back the next day, he said his rap, and he was like, Jamaira, you smell like Lakaira. And then he was, and no one said anything, like no one at the table was laughing or anything, and he was like trying to get his friend's attention. He was like, you remember Lakaira that used to go here and she smelled you, and trying to like get them to laugh, but they weren't laughing or anything. And then I can't even remember my battle, but it was something like my bars, it was like you look like a rat, you need to take a nap, like something like that, real stupid. But either way, my reaction was a lot bigger than his reaction. I got a whoa snap, you know, versus his was very, very dry, you know. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I mean, this was in fifth grade,
right? I was about to say, like, you went for that one. So
this was in the fifth, like probably fourth or fifth grade, right, like, right. Yeah, whatever.
I mean, whatever. I'm just saying, like, you went for, you know, that was a right.
I don't remember what it was, but I remember right. saying rat and yeah. nap. Like,
right.
Whatever.
Yeah. Rat, power, nap. Who know? I guess.
Whatever. I guess my bar so. Went hard. Okay.
It did. You got the all of that at the lunch table.
I can hit up everybody on Facebook right now and say, y'all, didn't that rat battle? It's like, no, they probably don't remember.
I spilled my milk that day. Yeah.
Whatever. All right, you all. So we're going to move on to our love topic. And you can say this with us as well. I am worth my own time, energy, and attention. All right. Some of you probably need to say that 2-3 times, because it is an honest fact that people need to realize. This is something I took from Ayanla, watching some of her shows recently. And it's just really a statement that really... it really resonated with me because of the time and energy and attention that we honestly don't give ourselves, especially when it comes to our mental health and us not really wanting to focus on our mental health because we don't really have the time to. A lot of jobs out there especially don't allow you that time to focus on your mental health. There's not a lot of places that have a gym downstairs or will pay for your gym membership or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely very difficult. There's also a stigma in many cultures where going to get help for your mental health or even talking about mental health is something that is not welcome, if you will. You know, most mm-hmm. people, when you talk about mental health, they're like, oh, you'll be fine. You know, you'll be fine. Pray about it or something. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, all you have to do is just start. You can take 60 seconds and just start. The hardest part of anything is just starting. So if you just start one day with just taking 30 seconds for yourself, then take 60 seconds the next day for yourself and just try and build on that time. And dedicate 60 seconds a day to yourself just to start yourself, start your day, and everything like that. And there are different ways that you can go about focusing on yourself as well. And you can start with learning to value yourself and understanding your power mm-hmm. by treating yourself with kindness and respect and avoiding self-criticism. Because I know personally for me, sometimes that little voice in my head can get a little too loud and I need to put my foot down and be like, listen, all right, this is the life I'm living. I have to do this, that, and the third. I understand that you may feel like, oh, you don't want to do it, but honey, we're doing it. You know, like, we don't have time for you to, you know, go back and forth with yourself. And you can also make time for things that you love and broaden your horizon, just like King and I are doing with investing in ourselves with the ice skates and everything. We found something that we loved, something that we wanted to broaden our horizon. Then we went ahead and did that.
Exactly.
And mental health is mind, body, and spirit.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. So you have to take the time to take care of your body. It's definitely key, because when you look good, you feel good. That's just straight up. Exercising is something that I feel like a lot of people... I feel as though, you know, it's a chore, but at the end of the day, if you're depressed or you feel like you're stuck in a rut, as mundane as it may sound, or as tiring as it may sound, exercising will actually help you feel better. Because it can help... Because it releases endorphins and other neurotransmitters when you're exercising. They help the neurotransmitters, they help relieve pain and stress, and endorphins are only one of the many neurotransmitters that are released when you are exercising.
Yes. Physical activity also stimulates the release of dopamine, norepinephrine.
Norepinephrine,
and also serotonin. These brain chemicals play an important part of regulating your mood.
Yes.
And we just renewed our membership as well. If you can't afford a gym membership, Google different places allowing trials.
Yes. One time when we didn't want to invest in a gym and couldn't afford to invest in a gym membership, we were using up all the trials that we could. There's like a 1-day pass at some gyms, there's a 3-day pass at other gyms, and there's even a week pass at another gym as well.
If you have a YMCA nearby, they do offer scholarships as well.
And you can get a membership as low as, ask them about their scholarship membership, and you end up getting highest, I believe, is like 80% off your membership. Yeah, so that's really nice. Yeah. And
if your family member has a membership, some gyms allow a free guest as well. Get enough rest, you all. Baba Dick Gregory says we should all sleep 90 minutes after the sun goes down. The radiation belt of the atmosphere does a flip-flop, and it recharges the brain. So, all can sleep.
All sleep that you get after midnight doesn't really count.
Right. And that is what the story of Cinderella is actually about.
In the video that I watched, and if you want to watch the full interview where Dick Gregory talks about sleep deprivation, then you can definitely Google Dick Gregory, Truth Be Told. That is the episode where he was talking about this as well. So the host pretty much was kind of taken aback by this. Like, how are we supposed to be going to sleep 90 minutes after the sun goes down? We always have all this stuff to do. And he pretty much just said, before there were lights and the only light you had was the sun, you got everything done in the daytime.
True.
You didn't wait till nighttime to sew a quilt.
True.
You know? So when he said that, I was like, okay. You know, like, you don't need to tell me anymore. Also, drink plenty of water. This is a rule of thumb that it's important to know, because I feel like people waver back and forth knowing this fact or not. But the amount of water that you need to drink is a half an ounce to an ounce of water per pound.
Yeah.
All right. So if you weigh 167 pounds, how many ounces do you need?
Yeah.
King, how many ounces do you need?
I don't know.
167 pounds? You need 167 ounces. Because it's a half an ounce to an ounce per pound. And if you're going to do a half an ounce of that, then you would do 83.5 ounces if you're only doing a half an ounce per pound.
Exactly.
You just verified everything with a calculator.
Just had to verify that. But yes, 83.5 ounces per day, that would definitely be that amount when it comes to your actual pounds. So yes.
It,
that's a little scary to think about for some people as well that may have a kid or whatever like that, or a baby. But I mean, let's be reasonable about the amount of ounces that we're also serving ourselves. I mean, you know,
and going to the bathroom too.
Of course. And babies definitely do that. By the time you feed them, it's already out their system. Majority of their body is small bones, but mass water. You have to keep that into consideration. Why they're so durable. Babies are durable now. Like, I'm not telling you to drop your baby, not like that. But
their bones are flexible.
Very flexible. And that just comes with, of course, being new to the world, but also having that amount of
you
water.
Said that comes with being new to the world. You're
I
funny.
Mean, being new to the world, yeah, you're going to be flexible to the
Yeah, to the world. You're going to be funny. Flexible to the world when you're new to it. But once you get a little older, your bones, they start to harden up depending on how much work you put in. And then they become brittle after getting beaten down so many times in the world.
Damn, but that's quick.
It is quick. But all I'm saying is, in the midst of all of that, make sure you drink your water. All right? Just make sure you drink your water. Water is important when it comes to
Your joints.
Yes, excuse me.
Keeping yourself hydrated. That's the number one cause one of the number one causes of death.
Yeah.
Sleep deprivation and dehydration. All right.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Surround yourself with good company as well. Surround yourself with people who encourage you to do better. That should be a standard. But
yes.
Building and maintaining strong social and family connections can be healthy.
And also understanding that sometimes you have to know when to take a break from people as well. And just communicating that with them, just saying, hey, taking a break right now, just focusing on this, that, and the third. And half the time, you don't even have to explain yourself. Just, I'm taking a break.
Learn how to deal with stress. This is the main one. Stress is a part of life and coping skills. Meditation definitely is one. Long walks, outdoors or indoors, whatever those may be.
Uh-huh.
And a sport or a hobby will definitely help play a role in releasing stress.
Yes.
Remember, smile and
see the humor in your life and in the people who think they have the power to stress you out. Whenever someone's trying to stress you out, just laugh at them.
Ha! Ha! Research shows that that laughter can boost your immune system as well.
Ease pain, relax your body, and reduce stress.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not sure why more, like, I don't understand why more comedians aren't, like, being paid as much as they should
Thank
be.
You.
But that source of laughter is something special. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Learn to quiet your mind as well and focus on your thoughts. Meditation and mindfulness can help relaxation. Exercises can also improve your state of mind and outlook on life. Those two are very important. That meditation and relaxation is pairing hand to hand, and it gives you a deeper insight on how you can better focus at those stressors as well, outside of course, taking advantage of sports and hobbies and walks and things like that.
Yes, lastly, definitely do your research on meditation.
Lastly, when you do give yourself to others, be sure that it's whatever runs out of. Be sure that it's whatever runs out of your cup. Now, Queen, go ahead and explain that.
Okay, so everything that is inside of your cup is for you. All right, when your whatever runs over is for everyone else. And if you have, and honestly, you do have the right to be stingy with your cup. And it's self full to focus on yourself and ensure you are the best you for everyone else and yourself. It's not selfish, it's self full. All right, keep your goals realistic always. Reward yourself after you've accomplished your goals. Don't go too crazy.
Yeah.
Take a break from the everyday routine, the monotonous tasks that you do every day. Take a break from them. You know, do something. Instead of driving home, keep driving past, even though you see your kids looking outside the window. Just keep going.
That's That's if you have enough gas and to your responsibilities. Because I don't want you to keep driving. You're on E. Ding!
This one, exactly, but this one lady said that she actually, what she does once a week, she literally turns her phone off, turns off all social media, cuts everyone off out of her family, and literally rents a hotel for a few days, and doesn't answer the phone, just relaxes.
That's
like,
a real investment.
That's what I'm saying, like. You have to take time for yourself. Like, how can you pour into others if you can't even pour into yourself? It would be best if you would just take that time and just pour into yourself. That's all I'm saying. And I feel like this is something that we talk about often as well, just because that's the main reason why we started our brand and started this podcast, is just to encourage others to live their truth and encourage others to do the same. And living your truth requires you to pour into yourself and being selfish sometimes, and that will make you perfect for those who are around you. So I'm saying. So, the lesson for this week, all right? If you have acquired any type of products that may have a mic on the device or anything like that, we're going to give you some tips that will help you ensure that certain people aren't listening to you 24/7 on those devices, because there's more and more devices being incorporated in our homes. And I think it's very important that you know about the devices instead of not knowing about them, you know? So I'll also preface this by saying there is no way to really know for sure what is and what is not being recorded, regardless of any settings, you know?
That's a fact.
And that's just a straight up fact. So this is for the Google portion of your phone, the little Google Assistant and everything. If you want to stop that from listening to your voice and always turning on and everything, mm-hmm. what you do is you open your Google app, and in the top left corner of the page, touch the menu button. This could possibly be different for different devices, but look for the menu icon, mm-hmm. go to settings,
tap
from settings, mm-hmm. go to voice. From voice, click on OK Google Detection. Mm-hmm. And from here, you can choose when you want your phone to listen for you to say the OK Google command.
Right.
And if you have if you want Siri to be quiet, settings.
Right. And then you, from settings, you click Siri and search. And then from there, you would select turn off feature to listen for Hey Siri. Now, if you have an Amazon Alexa or Echo device, we've been aware they are listening.
Mm-hmm.
And for Alexa, there is a new feature where you can say, Alexa, delete everything I said today. All right?
Yes.
That's real. Mm-hmm. When it has a feature for you to say, delete everything that I said today.
Yes, because they're actually storing that information for later use.
But for that... for Alexa, you would open the Alexa app, go into settings section, select history. You'll see a list of all entries.
Mm-hmm.
Select an entry and tap the delete button. And if you want to delete all the recordings with a single click, you must visit the manage your content and devices page at amazon.com/mycd.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Also,
it was recently discovered that Amazon employees around the world are listening to us and making transcriptions.
Mm.
So, if you want to stop that, what you have to do is open the Alexa app on your phone, tap the menu button at the top of the screen, select settings, then Alexa account, choose Alexa privacy. Select manage how your data improves Alexa. Turn off the toggle next to help develop new features. Turn it off, mind you. And then turn off the toggle next to your name under use messages to improve transcriptions. And for extra privacy, there's also a way to mute the Echo's mics. To turn the Echo's mic off, press the microphone's off on button at the top of the device. Whenever the button is red, the mic is off. And to reactivate it, just press the button again and it will turn blue. Just be aware that there are similar steps that you can take to turn off listening features for your mic as well on various different devices, like your tablets, your laptops, your computers, and other third-party apps like Facebook and Instagram. And all you have to do is Google it, take the time and do some research. And as I said before, these devices are going to be forced into your home whether you want to or not. They're going to be disguised as a convenient aid, so it's best that you educate yourself on how they work and what information they do have permission to store, etc. Mm-hmm. Just protect yourself. That's all I'm saying. And as always, you all, that is not all, but it is all for now. And remember to write us at qk.jj@hotmail.com. Follow us on Instagram, the personal at Queen Jam, and then the business at qk.jj. Rate, review, subscribe, embrace the pure facts, and conduct your own research. And remember to smile. Until next time, Queen Jam.
King Jerry.
Out.